We're doing the Nevi Yeshayahu. We're up to what's called the 25th chapter, the 6th Pasuk. We'll begin and then we'll see in context. We'll see. The Nevi is talking about the people of Israel. He is prophesizing about what's yet to come. V'asa Adonai Tzevaot לכל העמים בהר הזה משתי שמנים משתי שמרים. And on this mountain Hashem will make a great party. The Navi is describing the nations gathering around Jerusalem. What we call the war of Gog and Magog, what the Navi calls the war of Gog and Magog. All the nations, all the armies will gather around this mountain, Mount Zion. And around this mountain they will have Mishtei Shemanim. They're going to have a party of oil. Just like ordinarily during parties, so they'd anoint themselves with oil, and that's something that's so smooth. So too, they're going to think that Jerusalem is going to be easy pickings. Historically, when nations came to conquer Jerusalem, they thought it would be easy. Seems like an easy city to conquer. And so the nations will gather around Jerusalem thinking it's going to be easy to conquer it. Mishtei Shemarim. And instead, it's going to be like drinking the sediment. When the oil sits, so the sediment sets to the bottom, the thicker, less comfortable parts of the oil. And that's not exactly something you want to drink or smear yourself with. And so the Navi is describing how they're going to ascend on Jerusalem, thinking it's going to be easy pickings, and suddenly what they thought was oil, the path that they thought would be so smooth, is going to turn into sediment. It's going to turn into a very difficult, arduous task. Shemanim memuchayim. Oils that were memuchayim, that were easily smeared into the body. Shemarim mezukakim will turn into sediment. Mezukakim that have been purified out of the oil. When you clear the oil, so you take out the sediment, that's what it's going to become. So they're going to think it's going to be easy pickings, and it's going to be very difficult. and so, Uvila bahar hazeh, and Hashem will destroy the enemies on this mountain. Who's Hashem going to destroy? Pnei halot, halot, al kol ha'amim. Hashem will destroy the cover of all the nations. Lot is a cover. Lote means to cover, when one wraps himself, when one encases himself. So Hashem is going to destroy the cover of all the nations. V'amaseicha ha'nesucha al kol ha'goyim. And this word has dual meaning. Either it means the masecha can mean the cover, like masecha, like michseh, a molten cover. Or the word masecha can also mean, from the word nasich, prince, the princeliness, the leadership of the nations. And it's interesting that the Navi describes the strength of the nation as a covering, as a mask, as a facade. That's the strength that will be destroyed. And perhaps the Navi is alluding to the idea that our strength is an eternal strength. It's an internal strength. It's the strength of Hashem being in our midst, whereas their strength is an external strength. So yes, on the surface, so long as things take their course, the nations seem like they're more powerful. And they've succeeded in conquering all of Israel, coming up to Jerusalem and surrounding Jerusalem. Now, Gog u'Magog has the numerical value of 70. So the 70 nations will unite and join in their attack, in their ascent on Jerusalem. And it will seem like it's an easy win. Yes?
When you talk about the nations of the world, the 70 nations, does that include the Jews?
Seems not. So it would seem that way. Right?
You know, when the nations will be destroyed, doesn't mean the righteous necessarily the right people. They may still exist as individuals, but they won't
sure.
be whatever they call it.
We saw earlier in the Naveen, we'll see it again later, that even when the nations will be destroyed, there'll be a remnant. They won't be completely annihilated. Part of the prophecy is that they'll all say, okay, uvau tzion birina, they're going to look up the Zion. Ki mitzion teitze Torah. That's a declaration of the nations. The nations will say Zion is the source of Torah. So that there will be nations. Shir ha-ma'alot b'shuv Hashem et shivat tzion heinu kecholmim. Az yomeru vagoyim. The nations will say, Higdil Hashem nasot imela. Look at what great things God's done on their behalf.
Something has to be reconstructed to come over Sukkot and bring
them. Right. The Navi and Zechariah, they'll all make their ascent on Sukkot. Now we have a very famous pasuk. This is a pasuk that's often quoted at funerals. So you guys can jot this down. Bila hamavet lanetzach. What did we say in the previous pasuk? Uvila bahar hazeh. On this mountain God will destroy the covering, the masking of the nations. Now the Navi comes back and uses that same word. Bila. Hashem will destroy hamavet. Hashem will destroy death, lanetzach, for eternity. Bila hamavet lanetzach. Now, it's interesting that the word bila, those of you who have the Targum, the word bila in Pasuk Zayin is translated differently than the word bila in Pasuk Chet. So the word bila can have more than one meaning. The word bila can mean to destroy. The word bila could also mean to swallow, to cover up. The question here is, the Navi talking about the same nations that have been destroyed, God will withhold death from them, or, the way Rashi learns, this pasuk is talking about Am Yisrael, that we will reach a point after Gog and Magog where there will be no death. And then the same question arises, as we've been discussing, this is another topic we discussed last night, when is Mashiach coming? Do we have to believe Mashiach's coming any minute? We discussed what did the Gemara mean? Sipita liyeshua, that in our interview in heaven they're going to ask you, did you anticipate salvation? What am I supposed to anticipate? So, bila hamavet lanetzach, the question here is, do these things happen like day after day? There's the war of Gog and Magog and the next morning no one dies? Or are these periods? And then you could have a gap of a century or two in between. You can have Gog and Magog, and then eventually you have Bila HaMavet LaNetzach. It certainly seems from many sources, as we discussed last night, that things are a process. Etzemach David Avdecha. The salvation is like a plant. It grows. It doesn't happen overnight. Yes?
It says in some prophecies that when they try to sack Jerusalem, they'll succeed for 9 months.
Right. We discussed that earlier in Yeshaya, right? Right, so that's also a question. Here it seems to say that Gog and Magog will not succeed, and that's what seems to say in Zechariah. And yet you have other prophecies and Midrashim that indicate that they will conquer all of Israel and exile us for 9 months, right? Which one happens when, right? I don't know.
The positive prophecy, the negative prophecy, can be overridden, the prophecy cannot, positive cannot, wouldn't seem to be that.
Maybe, but why not say the other way? If the positive prophecy is going to happen anyways, so all you have to worry about is the negative prophecy to make sure it doesn't happen.
Negative prophecy could be overcome, though,
no? So that's why you have to worry about it. Make sure to overcome it. Right now, it's a standing threat.
The positive one has to happen.
Okay, but you know what? We've had a Holocaust. So you could say, great, so we came back to Israel. It cost us $6 million. We'd rather not pay such prices. Bila hamavet lanetzach. So the Navi says there will come a time where Hashem will cover over this decree of death. It will be forgotten from the world. Umacha Adonai Elohim Dima me'al kol panim. and God will wipe away the tear from every face. V'chirpat amo yasir me'al kol ha'aretz ki Adonai diber. And Hashem will remove the shaming of His nation from all of the land, because this is God's decree. So Am Yisrael will return to the land of Israel. No one will be found in exile, so no one will be shamed. And this is part of Hashem's decree, that the Jews will reconvene in Israel, and you will no longer have Jews being derided throughout the world. It's as though the Navi is prophesizing that until that point, you will have Jews being shamed throughout the world. Remember, Yeshaya is living during a period that's really the Jews are living in Israel, everything's great, we have our king, and he's prophesizing. We read this 2 millennia later, it's already 3 millennia later, we read this and it's so obvious to us what he's talking about, but let's think about where Yeshaya was holding. The temple hasn't yet been destroyed. From the time we've entered the land of Israel, we've never been exiled. Yeshaya is talking about, wow, down the road, the Jews will be scattered throughout the world and shamed throughout the world, and I prophesize about a time when they will not be shamed. But he's still talking about a time when we're still living there. We still have Jewish kings in Israel. We've never been exiled. He's in the first temple, Yeshaya. The people of Israel are divided. You have a northern king, you have a southern king, but we're all there. So, to us, we read it and like, yeah, okay, I understand, right? So we have to remember where he was standing when he said this. And Israel will say on that day, Hine Eloheinu ze kivinu lo v'yoshienu. The people of Israel will say, that's the God we were hoping for, and look, He saved us. Ze Adonai kivinu lo nagila v'nismecha bishuato. This is Hashem that we were hoping for all the time. Now we can rejoice in His salvation. And again, what's the Navi talking about? So we've had 2.5 millennia where the world kept telling us, why do you believe in Him? Look at what He's done to you. What was the Christian claim for the last 2 millennia? Obviously you're not the chosen people. Look, God's forgotten you. He's forsaken you. Look at how you're suffering. So we read these psukim and it's so obvious to us. But let's think back 50 years ago, 70 years ago. Dagan, who was head of the Mossad, so he had over his seat, he had a picture that showed a Nazi standing in full armor and a stick beating an old man on the floor. That was a picture he had. And he used to say that's a picture of his father on the floor. That was his father being beaten by the Nazi. Now, one of the things they used to tell us as they were beating us, they used to say, do you still think you're the chosen people? So this recurring theme throughout Tanakh, in the Nevi'im and in Tehillim, where David speaks about a period where the nations will tell us, why do you have faith in God? We have to think back to when these verses were written. They were written during the Jewish golden era. The Jews are living in Israel. They have a king. David the Melech is ruling over them. They're succeeding in every war. And they're constantly getting stronger and conquering more of the land of Israel. And David is talking about a time when all the nations will look down at us and say, hey, why do you believe in him? So that the prophetic vision, this idea that we will constantly be badgered and told, there's no reason you should believe in him. Look at all these years. Look at how he's forsaken you time after time. And that's what the Navi here says. And on that day, finally, the Jews will be able to say, yeah, that's the God we were hoping for. We maintained our faith all this time. Now he's finally showing his face. Pasuk Yud. Ki tanuach yad Adonai bahar hazeh. God's hand, God's might will settle on this mountain. V'nadosh Moav tachtav. The Moabites will be trampled in their place. Ki hidush matbein b'mohomad meinah. Just as hay is trampled within the tit, when you make mortar, So the hay is pounded in the mortar. So too, Moab will be trampled in their location. Uferas yadav bekirbo. Moab will spread their hands in their midst. Uperas yadav. Another understanding is God will extend his hand within Moab. Kasher yifaresh hasoche lischot. Just as someone swimming extends their hands as they're swimming, so to God will extend his hand, so to speak, to smite Moab. Vishpil gavato im ovot yadav. Hashem will humble their arrogance with the swaying of his hands. And this is obviously metaphoric. Another interpretation here is im olvot yadav. The word olvot could also mean ambush. So Hashem will humble them together with the different locations that they'd set up as ambush, to ambush anyone who would try to attack them. Hashem will put them all down. Now, what would they set up? They'd set up, like today we have fill boxes, they'd set up these huge towers from which they could look out and see where the enemy was going, and that way they could know how to attack the enemy. So the Navi says he'll take them down wherever they are, with whatever instruments they have. Hashem will knock it all down. And the fortification of their walls. Hashem will lower their walls, their fortification. Heishach will be lowered, will be humbled. God will flatten it to the ground. Bayom ha'o yushar hashir hazeh be'eretz Yehuda. And on that day, the following song will be sang in the land of Judea. Ir ozlano yeshua yashit chomot vachel. Ir ozlano, the city of Jerusalem, that was always our strength. Yeshua yashit, God will place, yashit will place, yeshua, salvation, chomot vachel, with walls and fortification around the city. Now, a chel is a low wall, and that serves to hinder the advance of the enemy. You could climb over it, but it slows you down. So you have the choma, you have the tall wall, and then you have the chel, you have a lower wall. The idea that you have to cross over a lower wall means that your horses can't go straight, your chariots can't go straight, it slows you down, and it gives the people on the wall an opportunity to shoot at you with their arrows and whatever they need. You also never know what's waiting behind the wall. I mean, there could be all kinds of traps as you try to cross over that wall. So that was part of the fortification of a city. You had chomot v'chel, and you had the same thing in the temple. You had the major wall, the chomot, the walls of the temple, and then you had a lower wall called the chel. Right, there were signs all around the chel that said that up until this point, a non-Jew can come. If a non-Jew wanted to bring a sacrifice, he was allowed to approach the temple up to the chel. And then when the Greeks came to destroy the second temple, so they breached. They made many breaches in the chel. And the rabbis maintained some of those breaches. And they put up signs on those breaches. One day we'll have to learn about it. Okay, so that's a good question. It's a good question. So we're over here. Notice again the poetic form. Yushar Hashir, Ir Oz, Yeshua Yashit, Chomot Vachel. The play on words that Yeshaya keeps playing.